Well, because sometimes there are technical issues, and I didn't want to, like, you know, screw everything up.
You think love with sheep is a technical issue?
It depends on which jurisdiction you're in.
Okay, yeah. Now that we're recording, I'm the one who brought that up. Dang it.
Yeah, why don't you calm down for a second?
It's probably a good thing you brought it up rather than the sheep bringing it up. That could be a felony of some kind in your country.
Well, if the sheep bring it up, then I think you're into it.
Not my thing, man. Not my thing.
No, not the royal. I'm not accusing you. Welcome on the podcast.
Cheers.
All right. Welcome to Talking Fail, the podcast that doesn't actually exist. I'm Tyler. With me, I have my co-hosts, Archer.
What's up?
I have Ethan.
I did it again.
Again, this is what, 3 weeks in a row? I'm here too.
And Will?
What is up?
And this week we have a guest for, all the way from Australia, Joshua from Two Brothers Talk Games. How you doing, Josh?
Yeah, pretty good, man. Pretty good. Thank you very much for having me. If I can just start with that. And I hope I don't say too much that you guys have got to cut out.
You should be fine.
You're not the one I'm worried about.
Not yet.
I listened to the podcast, so I've got a pretty good idea of what I got myself into by inviting you on.
Oh, okay. So you're the other one. Oh, good.
what is the podcast? I'll be honest. I haven't listened to it yet.
The podcast is called Two Brothers Talk Games. Originally named that because the other person who was involved was my actual biological brother, who was a professional gamer. My current co-host is Paul, who was kind of just like a one-off ring-in, but because my brother flaked out on it, I'm like, you know, do you just want to do this? And he's like, all right. So, yeah, that's kind of how that
so
came.
So you adopted him?
To be honest, I thought you were going to say my current brother.
Well, yeah, brother from another mother kind of deal. So
it's
yeah.
Cool. What kind of professional gaming does your brother do?
He is a StarCraft II player. I think he's considered one of the better ones. He's easily the best in the top two or three, I think, in Australia and New Zealand, which is, you know, like, I think like six people with computers. And I think in the Southern Hemisphere, he's in like the top 15 to 20, I want to say. I'm not completely sure. My ability with video games is well known to be not very good.
He's not South Korean, so I'm very impressed.
Yeah, his gaming name is Ayagas, which is our last name spelled backwards. You know, it's extremely creative.
You got to go with what's not taken.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is it that with a bunch of X's on the beginning and the end? Because it's still like,
That would have been great, but no. He's also known as Gimli, because he's this surly, long-haired, big-bearded. Everyone just kind of had a look at him and said, hey, he looks like a dwarf. He can't argue.
In my head, I'm seeing Gimli geared out playing StarCraft 2.
That is
like
not far from
live shows.
Yeah, that is not far from what he looks like.
So when we were talking beforehand, I mentioned, like, you know, things that like maybe Americans assume or get wrong about Australia. Are there any in particular that jump out at you that we're terrible at?
Probably the biggest one, and this one hurts to admit. Not everything is trying to kill us all the time.
I don't buy it.
Why does that hurt to admit?
Because Australians got this weird reputation of being like tough, outdoors, independent kind of people that have, you know, have got everything, including the landscape, trying to kill them all the time. And the problem is it's not exactly true. I'm sorry to shatter that illusion for you guys. I am not speaking under any form of duress right now. There are no spiders in this room.
If a spider has a gun to your head,
I would assume it would be an American spider, because we don't have guns in this country.
Oh yeah,
we don't need them.
It's a radical spider.
It could well be. It's kind of funny. Like, probably one of my worst brushes with really bad spiders is a few years ago I had to move a like this old desk out of a shed to get it to the curb so we could chuck it out for council cleanup. And while moving it, I saw a redback and I thought, oh, that's no okay. For those of you who don't know, a redback is very closely related to your black widow.
Okay.
Archer, are you okay?
I'm holding in.
They're not great. I mean, they won't. They probably wouldn't kill you if they bite you. But you know, you're not going to have. You're not set up to have a good time if it does. So moving this desk out, and as I lifted it up, which in itself took a wonderful amount of effort, I noticed an egg sac on the bottom of the desk, and I'm like, right, get this shit on the.
Oh, right.
Then get a hammer.
Oh, my. I'm in Google Images right now.
And yeah. I should not be here.
Probably not.
Wait, so did you smash the...
I very much did, yes.
Did little, like, spiderlings crawl out, or, like,
what? No, it was pretty consistent with mush after I'd finished. Okay. It was a big hammer.
Good.
Oh, good for you.
Well, that sounds like the.
The funny thing is, they're not the worst spider we have. The worst is a funnel web, and they're really bad. And they just look like, you know, something. They look like if you took Satan and incarnated him as a spider. What's that? That's what they look like. And they are the most venomous spider in the world, as far as I'm aware. Funnel web, not funnel cake.
Funnel web.
not as much fun as funnel cake.
I'm just telling you what's autocomplete is coming up. Yeah, funnel cake spider. Oh, it's a funnel cake spider.
It may be trying to protect you. Funnel cake spider sounds much nicer.
I've watched a documentary or two.
Yeah, they look like the devil, and they're just evil.
Oh, you've met him. How is he? I haven't talked to him in a while.
Oh, you know, he's all right.
Okay, yeah, this is like the John Wick of tarantulas.
Pretty much. Like, it's one of those weird things. Like, I mean, they do exist in this country. And, I mean, funnel webs are, I think, exclusive to the part of the country that I'm from or in. And quite fortunately, yeah, I haven't had to be too worried about it, which is kind of nice.
As an American, I think America used to have a similar image about them, at least, like, you know, that frontiersman, cowboy, whatever. Although, you know, heart disease is the leading killer in the country, so I think we're on a similar page.
That and opioids, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, do you mind telling us about American current events from your perspective?
The opioid thing, I mean, opioids kill more people than guns. How hard do you have to work to kill more people than guns in America? Bloody hell!
Really safe with guns. That's all.
Yeah, real safe. If only you had real safes to put their guns in and keep them there.
Because you can give opioids to somebody who's under 16. That's fine. It's harder to sell them a gun.
Hey, at least when we see a redback spider, we can unload our guns into the spiders and feel safe again.
All you need in this country is a thong and a couple of minutes of, you know, grim. Shall we say determination?
To
point out, yeah, a thong is a flip flop. Yes, yes, yeah. I'm aware of that.
So, but no.
Although that does give it a wonderful mental image.
Underwear and run around.
Much like Celts of old, we get naked when we fight with spiders.
Do you fight them before or after Night with the Sheep?
Depends how good the night's going.
Okay.
I'm going to have no issues finding show titles this week.
They're not the only ones with a red back, if you know what I mean. Ahaha.
Oh, righty. This is some good stuff.
God in hell.
Not the sheep, the content.
I'm supposed to be educated. Bloody hell.
I mean, I've always felt like America and Australia have come from very similar backgrounds. You know, we both came from England, essentially. And
I think the big difference is you guys got the religious fanatics, we got the criminals.
What's the difference?
One of them gets tax incentives.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say in our case, Oh, God. It depends what kind of criminal you were. I mean, you could get sent to Australia for stealing a handkerchief. Or, in my family's case, burning down your neighbor's barn.
So you can actually... I never thought of this, because Australia was founded in what, the colonies?
1788 was the original first landing of the first fleet.
So, the idea of, like, the country of Australia, like, you guys, what do you consider the founding of Australia? Can you give us a brief
outside of genocide? Criminal-based genocide is probably, depending on how vicious you want to be about it, is probably not a bad description of how we got started. I mean, it originally came down to the fact that England had way too many petty criminals that they had locked away. And, you know, given the time it was, rather than, you know, rehabilitation or, you know, education or societal well-being, I think it was more a case of, you know, we don't really have an empire, so shit, where can we put the Irish? Other side of the world? Can they come back? No? Capital. Just, yeah, piss them off over there. So that's kind of what happened with most Irish, like, who didn't join the army and go conquer India or something.
Conquer?
Yeah, the English had a very large empire. You are aware of this, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
One quarter of the globe, I believe.
I don't remember.
The sun never sets. Ethan, you're really doing a great job of painting the picture of the
empire. Yeah, I'm starting to understand why you guys go to war with so many countries, so you can find out where they are.
Where are we? We think we're at a war with Korea right now, but it's Afghanistan. Like,
well, actually, I read technically America is not at war with anyone. Technically,
I think we're at war with.
Technically,
we
are not.
Technically, you're not at war with anyone, but you are undertaking military action in other countries, which is semantically different from war, because the American president has to essentially get Congress's agreement to declare war, but he does not necessarily have to agreement to undertake military action.
I mean, isn't Australia the best example of actually like a successful rehabilitation of criminals? I mean,
I don't know if I would go that far. Country.
Well,
you're a country now.
We are a country now. You're doing all right. Quite proud of that. I would say we're a pretty decent example of what can happen. I mean, We kind of look at English people and just kind of grin when we think about what they have to put up with. I mean, you know, weather-wise...
Is it because you guys have better teeth?
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, but having better teeth than the English is kind of like saying, you know, we're more assertive than Canadians. It's not hard to achieve, is what I'm getting at.
We're skinnier than Americans.
Yeah, well, you know, we're not doing too well there, guys. I'd say we're extremely, we're kind of proud of the country, but we're not so much proud of ourselves. We've got this weird lilt with our accents where a lot of the time our voices tend to go up at every sentence because we're not 100% sure of what we're saying. Yeah, we're an odd bunch, man. You know, we don't have that same kind of, I think always, confidence that Americans are portrayed as having in a lot of your movies and TV series, but I don't know, we're kind of happy with how we got going.
Now I think I get it now. All Australians are the teenage girls I know. They talk upward inflections?
Yeah, that's very, very true, unfortunately. Although it depends on where you're from. If you're from, say, one of the more country areas, you know, we'd describe that kind of person as a bogan, which I don't think you guys have
got. Oh my gosh.
I don't think you guys have got an equivalent for that term.
We've got rednecks, or is that
okay?
White trash, rednecks, yeah. But bogan. I like bogan. That's a Harry Potter monster.
Close.
I
because
I what like is your white trash
bogans?
Do?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Generally, you know, get on the dole or work some kind of blue collar trade.
What's
the dole?
Wait, yeah, get
dole,
on the dole.
Unemployment.
Oh, okay.
What? Why
dole,
is it dole?
D-O-L-E.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like how?
I've never been on it.
Okay, good. As long as.
What do you need to get on the dole? Oh, damn.
Proof that you're looking for work while being unemployed?
How do you prove that?
I don't know. Like, again, I've never been on it. We have unemployment here, too. You know, most of my friends are employed.
Oh, you...
Pretty well all of them, really. So I think, as far as, I assume
it's similar to the U.S.
I suspect so. I mean, I imagine there's forms you got to fill out saying, yeah, I went to this company, I spoke to this person, here's their email address and phone number. You know, here's a letter saying I was there. Don't know.
Yeah, I think maybe if you have like an interview, you have them sign off on the form. It's like, hey, this is my, can you just sign off that I did this interview kind of a thing?
Probably, but I also suspect if it's being done in Australia, there's a lot of companies that don't exist that these guys are turning up to, if you know what I mean.
So is it like, oh, that's, so it's like, I don't know if there's equivalent in Australia, but like, I don't know, the cannabis card companies where they just pop up like
I don't think it's that formal, like, honestly. I think it's some guy called Bazza down the road who fills in your form for you because, you know, he's got an ABN and you filled it in and like that's your interview, mate, and then you're okay.
I'd like to see this Vice series.
I don't want to see that. Australian Vice, we sometimes drink too much. Wait, not sometimes.
Sometimes. I have an Australian story that I think you might enjoy. I actually have quite a few Australian friends, and I have a lot of good friends in Southern California who went to school in Australia. So, like, when I lived down there, I was constantly around people who were, like, flying in for vacation and stuff. And I met somebody who was currently, like, getting messages from their friend who was at the hospital because they were vacationing, like, one of the people this person was with got just Australian drunk from what they said and wandered onto our freeway and like the freeway.
The fact that they could text
80 mile an hour vehicles. No, they did. They didn't. They were not. Somebody else was. They lost a leg if they survived, I think, and they're no longer allowed back in the country. one of the first times I met an Australian who was coming for vacation was like, yeah, one of my friends drank too much, wandered on the freeway, got hit by a car, and is about to be extradited out of the country.
Has come back to Australia. First of all, their new nickname when they got back here was Stumpy. Second of all, I can assure you, I mean, over here we've got an expression. He's as useless as a one-legged man in an ass-kicking competition. I am willing to bet the percentage of that remark being used around that person, 1,000% increase. I am willing to put money on this.
So if that was 1,000% increase, that means that he had to have been called before, right?
I mean, someone's probably real sad. He's as useless as a one-legged man in a... Oh, yeah, you'd know.
And that's why... And somebody told that to him. That's why he got so drunk and decided, on the freeway.
Self-fulfilling prophecy time. That being said, one thing I've definitely noticed is I think Australians are far more sarcastic than Americans. And I think we're far more comfortable with it, too.
I think it depends, but
I think we get offended by it.
Probably the best example.
We can't take what we dish.
Fair enough. Probably one of the best examples of, shall we say, cross-cultural incident causing. When my younger brother was over in, I think it was Austin, for some StarCraft II event. And he was meeting up with a bunch of other StarCraft II players, and they're all in this pub, which, you know, is what you guys would call a bar. Don't know if you have the same words. Oh, okay, cool.
We call some of them pubs.
We have both, but anyways, I don't know what the difference is.
My brother...
There's an Irish pub.
My brother wandered up to this bunch of Americans that he kind of knew and said, hey, get it up, ya! And then dropped both the F-bomb and the C-bomb. I have children, so I don't use these words anymore. And anyway, they immediately were just like... horribly, like, what the hell are you, like, very luckily for him, there was a guy there, have you guys heard of Total Biscuit?
Yes.
Yeah, he was at this event.
Really?
Oh, calm down, guys. Calm down.
Your brother got saved by Total Biscuit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That's just a friendly greeting for them. That's how they talk. He's not wanting to start it. And they're like, oh, right, okay.
That means friend and enter.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I can imagine the Australian version of Lord of the Rings would just have something like,
why has nobody made an Australian voiceover to play with the movie?
It would not be very good.
Especially because it was filmed in New Zealand. That'd be like extra. Extra.
That'd be even worse because we are not them.
Lots of sheep references during the Shire scenes. Lots of them.
Yeah, also it would probably get refused classification just due to the amount of bad language.
Classification meaning rating?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
I want to take some of these terms. Like how we did for Top Gear, you know. Hold on, I got to go get something out of my boot.
Probably one of the funnier kind of things that we've got is and this is an actual headline that I've seen that if you guys can get what I mean when I say this, I'll be very impressed. Polly busted on dodgy rego.
Oh, wow. Really?
That was an actual headline we've had. Yeah. What it means is a politician was busted for having an out-of-date registration on his car.
Does that happen?
We actually had a Supreme Court judge here a few years ago now. He got busted and got a speeding ticket or a red light ticket or something. And he said, oh, no, it wasn't me driving the car. It was a friend of mine. And this friend had been dead for a year and a half.
I like those stories. I like those stories because it's people who have like actual weight in like internet legislation and such, and who are so out of touch. They're like, I can say this and get away with it.
What amazes me is it's like, you're a Supreme Court judge. The ticket's $80. Like, God's sake, man, just pay the ticket and say sorry about that.
I feel like in America, the politician would just have, there'd be like an, it wouldn't be about money. It'd just be an ego thing of like, oh no, no, no. I need to exercise my power and make this just go away.
Yeah, hey man, you giving me a ticket is a violation of my freedom of
being a judge.
Speech.
Freedom of speech, and my speech is how fast my car can go. That's a violation of...
Yeah, I imagine Anthony Scalia. He would have been the kind of person who would have done that. He was great, by the way. Like, just his zingers were awesome. I know, he died. He died. Yeah, it was like a year ago or something.
What? He did? First tell me who he was, and then tell me how he died.
He was one of the open seats. He was a Supreme Court justice. And,
for your country.
For you.
See, this is what I wanted to clarify.
I am starting Thank you, to Josh. Really doubt. Like, I mean, God in heaven.
I'm not American.
Diversities in the world. What is wrong?
I don't think Ethan is an accurate representation of America. Just want to say.
I am what they call fringe variables.
Homeschooled.
That's 75% of the podcast. I wasn't bringing it up.
He is
because
here
then Tyler and Will have to justify what their excuse is.
I know. I really thought hard about bringing it on, but I think it's worth it.
Ethan is mostly on the show for comedic purposes.
Is he?
Yeah, this is the first time hearing of it.
That's what I tell myself.
Yeah. I'm here so that the guests and the hosts have a common enemy.
Right, okay. Yes. You're here to make me feel better about myself. Okay, thanks.
Is that what Tyler, we should probably go over my position again. Okay, thank I'm due for a performance review. Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after. Yes.
How was my sheep joke? I don't think taking abuse from Australians will be on there, but it is now.
Bingo. I think we're adding this to a thing we do.
I think one of the things is actually one of the slots is guest makes fun of Ethan, and I think that's
so. Josh, we've implemented in the last few episodes, we have our own talking fail bingo card that we're working on, and so that's what they're referencing is the.
Okay.
Do you mind reading some examples?
The bingo slots. So. I don't have it in front of me. Dang it. I'm a terrible host.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Hey.
I've generally found with my buddy Paul, I will like get some notes put aside and say, okay, you know, here's some talking things, and I'll get to his place on the night because that's where we record most of the time. And I'll say, oh yeah, did you read the notes? And I am met with silence. And look, he's usually pretty good. It's just been the last couple of weeks. We've both just had so much. It's been very interesting.
Oh, no.
Well, I've had two kids with gastro, and my wife had gastro. So, yeah, I literally had a lot of shit happening all over the place.
I've got two kids and two dogs, and it feels like it always just, you know, there'd be a week.
They have shifts for which one's going to be, you know.
Yeah.
Ill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just constantly handing off to each other.
I work with children, so I can also agree on this.
Oh, you have to one up everybody.
Which is horrifying, by the way.
What do these kids do? Oh, okay, I can't actually answer these questions and not get, like, I have to walk away. I can't answer any of these questions
The American Justin system isn't perfect, but...
It's education. Like, it's at a preschool.
Yes, especially if you're other than white, it's extremely imperfect. Bloody
hey,
hell.
Hey, 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 hey. I mean, hey, stop throwing that truth in my face. I just found out I'm, like, super white. I'm offended now.
Good.
Ethan, I could have told you you were super white, like, 10 years ago.
You see, the kids are actually teaching Ethan. Okay. How do I? That's what's going on.
I taught English as a second language for a while, and generally, I, like most English speakers, had no idea how the English language is put together, and it's a god-awful mess. Bloody hell.
From whose perspective?
There's bits everywhere. And pieces from
there's bits
old
and pieces
Latin.
From everywhere.
And then Latin progressed, and it just, like, continued, you know, evolving. And then new Latin came around, and English was like, you know what? We'll have some of that new Latin,
English
too.
Got invaded by everyone, like... and the English, in retaliation, invaded everyone else. But anyways, as I was saying, when I was teaching, I found sometimes the best way was to ask a question that I had no idea of what the answer was, just to get the students to answer it. And if it sounded right, I'd be like, yeah, good.
I can understand you.
Just fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Which was the lesson curriculum.
I didn't make a mistake. I was testing you. Exactly. You passed. Good for you.
So, what is it about teaching English as a second language? I feel like I've either known a bunch of people who have done it or have just heard many, many people talk about having done it. And every single one, their qualification was they spoke English.
That was the requirement. My qualification is, not only do I speak English, I also went and actually got a proper qualification in the field of English.
Oh, awesome.
Teaching to adults. So yeah,
Nice. I now feel like a dick for possibly sounding like I was insinuating your lack of qualification.
Okay. it was weird. It's what got my toe into doing any like further education after dropping out of high school. So that's cool, you know.
So you, this is very interesting.
Go for it.
So you left high school early.
I did.
And are now later.
Not from my choice.
Okay.
This was in New Zealand, and when I was in high school there.
Wait a minute. Were you born in New Zealand?
No, I just lived in New Zealand for a few years, which is why I know how to hurt them.
You infiltrated the New Zealand, the Kiwis. I know your weaknesses. Yeah. They're tiny.
Yeah, cute sheep.
cute sheep. I love your foreign politics. If this is any indication of how you operate, I'm a fan.
We had a prime minister recently who said he was going to... Okay, this is going to take a little bit of slang breakdown. He said he was going to shirt front Vladimir Putin. Shirt fronting is a term from AFL, or Australian football, otherwise known as like a fist fight with a ball.
Your president.
Our prime minister. We don't have a president. This was Prime Minister Tony Abbott, who's he's essentially our version of your Trump, but we got rid of him after a very short amount of time.
Oh, really? How?
I know, it made comedy really hard.
Too bad for you guys, huh?
How'd you do it? Wait, how?
He just got so unpopular, his own party said, sorry, mate, you know, piss off with you. But anyway, to shirt front nice. Someone... Yeah.
I doubt that'll happen here.
To shirt front someone means to run straight at them and just body charge them. So, I mean, threatening to do that to Vladimir Putin, that takes a certain level of testicles. More than two, I'm going to say.
I do... It does. I respect him for that. I do like how your president, your prime minister, your person in charge, your POC.
The queen?
PIC. Your pick. What? Is she still involved?
Technically, yes. Okay. But I'm not going into it. It'll bore your listeners.
Well, she's also... they're listening. What else are they doing?
Ethan, if you need more information, just go on Wikipedia.
That's a good idea. Look up the Westminster system.
He verbally went after Vladimir Putin using football slang, but our president is just verbally going after football
with slang
and being investigated for going after things with Vladimir Putin.
It's a slightly different angle that you guys got going on.
I feel like I'm holding your hand across the ocean right now.
Okay.
A little bit. Like we're all in this together.
We got rid of Abbott, which is kind of great, and we got Turnbull, who's kind of a bit of a letdown.
What are the like bullet points of controversy with him?
He's very
for you guys.
Boring.
To really
quickly wallpaper.
You can stop complaining now.
Wallpaper this one. The main thing that's disappointing about Turnbull is he's a progressive person whose political party that is aligned to is full of conservatives.
So for an Australian, what does it mean to be progressive or conservative?
I'd say one of the big differences is, are you okay with gay people getting married? That's probably one of the big ones. That falls under progressive. Okay. Are you okay with people who aren't white? Is also progressive. Dangerously so. Do you think women are people? That's also progressive.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Is that progressive or conservative?
You'd like Antonin Scalia, Ethan.
I just think it's right. I don't know about progressive.
First, I think Ethan will have to learn to read. So, I mean, he's got all those kids. They can help
him. Oh, my gosh.
There it is. Boom. Okay. Bingo.
Hey. I read the game you sent, and not a fan.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Take that.
A friend of a friend agreed to playtest it with me. I may have caused someone psychological trauma with it, so I felt kind of proud of that.
Well, make that too.
Wait. So this game, sidebar, this game, we're probably going to play it. Is there anything that...
Yeah, it actually looks pretty sweet.
I can't say mad at you.
Okay, but like, if you caused him emotional, like...
came from Australia.
If you caused him scarring, what can we do to avoid that?
Is there anything you've learned? Have any of you had children in the last 3 or 4 months?
Not that I know of.
Okay, no. Good. Okay, I'll probably explain the game a little bit. The name of the game is In the End, There Was Kindness. The idea of the game came to me when I was playing the Talos Principle, and there's a bunch of audio logs that essentially describe what these people were doing knowing that the world was ending. And I kind of had an idea that, oh man, that'd make a really interesting game. So the idea of the game is that you would all get together the first time, decide who is the captain. I've skipped over a bit. Okay, so the people playing are astronauts coming back to Earth after a couple of thousand years or something. And you essentially elect a leader.
Planet of the Apes.
And that leader flips a coin. Heads, natural disaster. Tails, man-made, is what forced humanity, like, wiped out most of us and forced the rest of us into the stars. Coming back, you guys find a bunch of, like, voice recordings of people who were documenting their last 2 or 3 days of life. And so the idea is that you would go and find a friend or family member and ask them, you know, look, if the world was ending, if you had 48 hours left of life to you, how are you going to fill that time? And of course, they have to
sheep
if they're from New Zealand. Yeah,
I'm stuck on that. I'm sorry.
So are the New Zealanders.
I was hoping you'd go for it.
So were they? I'm done.
Sorry,
and
keep
they have
going.
To finish their recording with "In the End, There Was Kindness." Now, this friend of a friend, one of the people in their group, was a new mum. She got extremely... Okay, she had a few hormonal things going on. That's quite normal if you're a new parent. I had it when my first was born and when the second was born. It's normal. The words panic attack were not quite the right descriptor of what happened, but it got very emotional. And admittedly, when I was told this, my wife was in the room and she asked me why I was giggling like a lunatic.
You mean like she got emotional in her own fictitious recording?
She got emotional because of someone else's.
Oh.
My last 2 minutes are going to be good.
Will is going to...
You may or may not have anyone living nearby me? At the time, watch out. So I hope you've got an imagination. But hey, what a way to go.
The game looked like, reading through the rules, I thought it looked really interesting and really cool. Yeah. Especially because we've been playing a variation of Dungeons and Dragons we just started. And I really like this as like a pseudo micro version of the same concept. So you came up with this?
Yeah, kind of by accident.
Do you have a history of like making games like this, or was this kind of a just
earlier
like...
this year? I put in on a Kickstarter project by a guy called Josh Jordan. It was for a bunch of these game, like similar kind of games, you know, bigger and smaller, you know, single player and multiplayer, but all kind of revolving around this form of play. And the game we played, and we made a recording of this for our podcast, it was called The Way of All Flesh, and it's supposed to be a funeral, and it's supposed to be very somber and serious. We giggled and laughed our way through the whole thing. So, look, you could play the game either very bleak or very, very funny. You know, I'm not going to kick the door in and tell you off. You know, have fun. I don't give a shit. If psychological trauma happens, please let me know. Why do I sound like a noodle bastard?
Do you have like a chart somewhere? Where it's working.
Not that I'm going to
global insanity is kicking in.
Hey man, Donald Trump got elected. I think that's everyone's bingo for global insanity.
Global. Hey, that's not fair to everybody else.
I'm not going to make any. I'm not going to get into the politics of everything because it's.
Yeah, we should probably not get political on this podcast.
Yeah.
Tyler legitimately had a talk with me. Well, not a talk. He just was like, hey, maybe not get super political. This like maybe not talk about Trump the whole time.
Guys, we're beating a dead sheep here.
So
well, if you're desperate in New Zealand, okay. That's what you got, you know.
Guys, I think we should address the sheep in the room.
Her name is Clancy. It's looking gorgeous. To finish answering your question, I don't have any history of it, but I interviewed Josh for our podcast, and during the interview, I said, oh, you know, I really liked your game. I like the system. It's really, really useful. You could adapt that system into anything. And he said, yeah, you could. And I said, oh, you know, maybe even a game about negotiating with aliens. And he said, go for it. And I did, and I wrote that up, and I'll send you guys a copy of that if you like.
Please do.
Have fun. But this one I kind of fell over, and a friend of mine recommended I have a look into the Golden Cobra Challenge and enter it in that because it matched up with their themes this year. So
I'm unfamiliar. Do you mind real quick saying what those goals were?
Golden Cobra Challenge. The two of the themes this year were destruction and rebirth. A couple of other bits and pieces, but you know, I just saw my ones and I thought, right, that's what I'm doing. So the game was finessed quite a bit from its original setup, but yeah, it was just a response to having a really beautifully bleak time with a video game. If you guys haven't played The Talos Principle, I can't recommend it enough. It's It's made by the guys that did Serious Sam, if you know that one.
I know of that, yeah.
Yeah, really? And it's... Okay, cool. The people that made the world's stupidest shooter made the world's most amazing philosophical puzzle game I've ever played. It's just fantastic.
And that was the Talos...
The Talos Principle.
The Principle. Okay. I'm looking this up.
Oh, yeah, I've That's seen great. The speed run of this game before.
Okay, I've been wanting to play this for a while.
You really, All really right. should.
I'm going to have to jump on
I actually tracked down the voice actor, and because her recordings are just... They're like... There's a lot to be said for graphics in a game, and there's a lot of people say, oh, graphics don't matter, it's gameplay. Graphics matter. But if your gameplay is shit, then your graphics don't. We don't think enough about audio in video games, I think, enough. But this person was so good with their audio work that I had to track them down and just tell them, my God, your work destroyed me. Thank you so much.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, it was one of those games that is, I think on IMDb, it got like a nine and point something out of 10. And I thought, that's not high enough.
Yeah, I mean, Steam, 10 out of 10. IGN, 8.3 out of 10. Google Play, 4.1. From what I've heard, this seems low.
It'll break your brain. Like, the puzzles are really good. But for me, it was the way they set up the world and the way they kind of, you know, expressed the mythos. I really hope I'm not using overly weird words for your audience or for you guys.
No.
Fantastic. For me, that was really what kind of clinched it as far as something that's not just a good game, but something that's far more than just a really good game. It's like reading an amazing book that gets you to think and question a lot of your assumptions.
I do want to make sure that we don't take up too much of your time.
I was going to say, I probably got about 2 to 3 minutes left. So if there's anything I need to yell at Tyler, like, you know,
Rachel, yeah, if you can just list out what you've got, go for it.
Oh, please do.
I'm trying to think of like what the most Australian swearing would be.
Can you give Tyler 20 seconds of just ripping him a new one, Australian style?
I'm not sure. I mean,
you just got told off by a criminal who got left. You just got told that it wasn't worth your time from somebody who his ancestors got taken and dropped in a new place because they didn't want them where they were anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the man's a deflated ego's worth of human piss in a bucket. I mean, honestly, the kind of shits I couldn't give about this person could not be cured with a laxative. I mean, we're talking industrial-grade shit here. I mean, there are sheep that wouldn't have sex.
They're the ones
I'm you know, consensually or not.
This is new bio.
Can I see podcasts?
I mean, there are things that we would accuse this person of that... Even our worst politicians would say, no, I can't defend that.
Wow, I had no idea. Tyler, I'm not comfortable.
There's a limit to the idea of freedom of speech. But honestly, dude, shut up.
Yeah, Tyler.
Is that okay? Was that a good enough
slide? You know, I wish this is the first time I've heard these concerns, but...
Well, this is the first time it wasn't from your mother, so we're making some progress.
Speaking of... No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, really?
Well...
I'm not getting into this, mother. I mean, I might be the only one.
Thank you.
Hey! Don't bring my mother into this.
How do you do it? How do you people do it?
Oh, yeah. Will and I are brothers, by the way.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Two brothers. We have two brothers on our podcast. So what's up, man?
I'm definitely going to want to put. I'm going to try. You know, type all that out and make sure that goes up on our website as a review of our podcast.
Will has got a lot of work for this episode's animated version.
That's going to happen. Right,
Josh. Thank you for coming on. It was a blast. I wish we had more time to just chat, and it's been great.
So do I. If anyone wants to, you know, get me back on Tyler's behalf, I can be found on Twitter at ZUGAI, and our show is Two Brothers Talk Games, which you can email us at twobrotherstalkgames@gmail.com because we are lazy, like most Australians.
Thank you to everyone who sent us listener questions this week. You can support us directly on patreon.com/talkingfail. Our Twitter is @talkingfail, and you can download our shows at www.talking.fail on iTunes, Google Play, and many other podcatching apps.
Actually, I did notice a while ago you guys renamed your show Talking Period Fail. I was going to say my wife and I talked Period Fail twice, and that's why we've got two children.
Can we use that as the intro to one of our podcasts?
You absolutely can.
The least effective contraceptive. This is Talking Fail, the least effective contraceptive. I'm your host.
And whereas Tyler's face is the most effective.